Thank you, David. And next week will be Romans 3, all right? 21 through 25. I know. Thought it may be just take a little bit too long this evening. Everybody has a handout that wants one. It is entitled, Jesus Christ, Our High Priest, Part 3. He is our only propitiation, Part B. I know, it becomes too technical, doesn't it? It is a joy to be here again, especially in really commemoration of my parents' wedding anniversary, November 8th, 1941. It is easy for me to remember that because Dad drilled it into my mind that they were married 1 month before Pearl Harbor, 1941. Tonight we will be dealing with Jesus Christ, our High Priest again, and it's a joy. It's a joy that He is our High Priest, that Jesus became man, that He became like one of us so that He would understand the pressures that we are under because of sin. But whereas we sin, He did not. It's not that because He did not have pressure, He did not yield to that pressure as we do. If you will, take the handout at the top of page 1. I stated that as we continue our study of Jesus Christ, our High Priest, it is important to remember that the purpose of His presence in the Holy Sanctuary, or another way of saying Holy Sanctuary, is the Holy of Holies. And notice holies is in the plural because in Hebrew that actually means it is the most holiest place possible. It is where God Himself dwells. Holy of Holies. But Jesus Christ tonight, or I should say today, He is in the Holy Sanctuary in the Heavenly Tabernacle. And the purpose He is there is to make propitiation for the sins of the people. I quoted Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 for you again. As a reminder, the author of Hebrews says, therefore He, Jesus, had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest at things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And last time I was here, we discussed the fact that the verb to make propitiation is in the present tense. While He is in the Holy of Holies, in the heavenly tabernacle, His ministry is our mediator before God on our behalf to make propitiation. Now, those who were not here, I discuss what that means. According to Leviticus 16, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Have you all heard of Yom Kippur, right? In fact, the Jews celebrated that just a few days ago, Yom Kippur. Or the Day of Propitiation was the only day each year during which the high priest was permitted by God to enter into the Holy of Holies and to mediate between God and His people. Now, do you understand that statement? Only once a year, only one man could go into the Holy of Holies. Rest of the year, no one was ever permitted in there. In fact, when you read the account of them taking down the tabernacle, because as they moved in the wilderness, no one ever entered into that tabernacle or the Holy of Holies to take it down. They took it down from the outside. It collapsed. So only one man, once a year, who was designated as the high priest, could go in to the Holy of Holies. The basis for this mediation, that is what the high priest was doing, the basis for this mediation was the sin offering sacrifice, and the purpose for his mediation was for the forgiveness of their sins. So we have the basis that the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies was on the basis of a designated sacrifice that God designated. That's what I meant by that. It's a designated sacrifice. God designated it. And the reason why the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies that one day a year was to make propitiation for all of his people. He would mediate that sacrifice that he would take into the Holy of Holies and present it before God. The high priest acted on the behalf of the people of Israel. Okay, is that easy? That's easy, okay. Atoning sacrifice was presented before God. What did the high priest do? Once it was completed, what did the high priest do? Did he stay in the Holy of Holies? No, he went out from the Holy of Holies again. And then next year, what would happen? He would have to renew the sacrifice again because other sins had been committed, and he would have to enter into the Holy of Holies only on that one day a year before God and present the offering for sin before God. Then when he was done, what did he do? He left again. Where is Jesus today? See, this is the point. I want to make sure you have it in your understanding. Where is Jesus today? He's in the Holy of Holies. Is his work of propitiation finished yet? No. You see how easy that is? And yet most of Christendom does not understand that. And he represents me before God today. The last paragraph on page 1. Today, Jesus Christ is our high priest. And he is in the holy sanctuary. Therefore, today is a day of propitiation or Yom Kippur. Do you understand that? The connection I'm making? Jesus Christ today is in the Holy of Holies. A time of joy, beloved. Because it was on this day that the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, was presented before God for the sins of the people. And what did the people do? The people had confessed their sins, and God forgives them of their sins and cleanses them of their unrighteousness. That's what the high priest mediated on that one day a year. Can you see why that would be so important? Just think, as you went through the calendar year, your sin would become a barrier between you and God. Do you ever feel like that you're dirty before God? Oh, I do. At times I feel like, God, I don't want to do that because I'm not that good. Right? Am I the only one that thinks like that? God gives us the availability to cleanse us so that thinking we should not have anymore. God cleanses us from our sin. If he doesn't cleanse us, then there would be a barrier between me and God. Today, Jesus is our great high priest. He's in the holy sanctuary. Therefore, today is the day of propitiation, during which time God's people have both the duty and privilege to humble themselves and confess their sins. Jesus' ministry as our high priest of the new covenant began on the day of Pentecost. Now, remember Acts chapter 2? And the Spirit descending? And it continues today, as long as it's still called today, actually. However, most of his people, that's us, have not been taught the importance of his present ministry in conjunction with his once-for-all offering at Calvary. And then as an illustration of the neglect of his present ministry, I brought a very nice chart, a very colorful chart, and it's on page 2, but it's this chart. Very pretty, isn't it? And what it does... Here, Ken, I'm sorry you can't see that. Okay, you have it, Dave. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's a large chart. And every time I go down to my basement to study, this is what I see. And then when I get it down into my basement, I have a large picture of the tabernacle to remind me where Jesus is today in the heavenly tabernacle. Because I need to be reminded of that myself. But as you read this chart, tremendous names on here. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Holy One, Lamb of God, Prince of Life, Lord God Almighty, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Root of David, Word of Life, Author and Finisher of our faith, Advocate, the Way, Dayspring, Lord of All, I Am. Son of God, Shepherd and Bishop of Souls, Messiah, the Truth, Savior, Chief Cornerstone, King of Kings, Righteous Judge, light of the world, head of the church, morning star, son of righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ, chief shepherd, resurrection and life, horn of salvation, governor, the Alpha and Omega. But they missed one. One that his ministry that he's been conducting for over 1,900 and some years. Ever since he sat down at God's right hand, he has been faithfully discharging his duties as our high priest. Do you see high priest on here? Without his mediatorship of being our high priest, we would be filthy before God. Because even if we would confess our sins, he would not be there to mediate his once for all perfect sacrifice on Calvary. That's the sin offering he brings before God. He brings not the blood of animals, does he? He brings his own blood before God. He is the perfect sacrifice. But not only is he the sacrifice, he's also the mediator or high priest for that sacrifice. Isn't that great? And who is he? He's our high priest. He is faithful. He is, as the author of Hebrews will say, he is merciful. Aren't there times when you don't even want to talk to God because you feel so dirty, so filthy before him? Jesus Christ solves that now, beloved. And what I have on the next page is a quotation from 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 2. We've looked at this before. But this week I want to emphasize it. Have you ever wondered why you are to confess your sins? Because today is the day of atonement. Where is Jesus? He's in the Holy of Holies. What is he doing? He's making propitiation. And he makes propitiation on the basis of his one-time sacrifice. Perfect. Perfect sacrifice. When we confess our sins. The Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he, referring to God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This echoes what was said in Leviticus 16 concerning on the day of atonement or Yom Kippur or the day of propitiation. Same thing. It's all the same. Just those terms are synonymous. That when the high priest went in to the day into the tabernacle on that one calendar year, the people had confessed their sins, and what happened? God forgave them of their sins, that is, the sins that they had confessed. But what else? Do you think you know or remember all of your sins? God is so merciful on the basis of the sacrifice that he forgives all of your sins. Look how John says it. If, that's conditional. That's why I said earlier it is a duty and a privilege to confess our sins before God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins. Why is he faithful and why is he righteous? Why is God righteous to forgive us of our sins? God cannot forgive us of our sins just because he wants to. But who is seated at his right hand? Jesus Christ. The very sacrifice which is being mediated in his presence for your sins and mine. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and, notice it doesn't stop there, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even those sins that I know of, I do not know the depth of the sinfulness of my own heart. But when I confess my sins before my God, God not only cleanses me of those sins, but he also says, Bill, you don't know the half of it. I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And what is that based upon? If we confess our sins, just like it was in the shadow, in the type, in the Levitical law. when the high priest went in the Holy of Holies on one day a year, Day of Atonement, the people could confess their sins, and the people who were there who confessed their sins, they were forgiven. So it is still today. John says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, see, that might be one reason why I would not confess my sins, because I don't sin. Do you realize people think that? They really do. They think, there's nothing wrong with me before God. But John says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That is, a person could start thinking, well, I'll just sin, and I'll just confess it. It'll make it that easy. It's so easy. John didn't write for that purpose. He didn't write that they would sin, but that they would not sin. And he says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Hear it? He is the propitiation. But it's all hinged on one thing, isn't it? And what is that? If we confess our sins. And we know that any sin we confess, we are forgiven. Why? Because Jesus Christ, perfect sacrifice at Calvary. See, the reason why I confess my sins is because I know Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient for my sins. See, I believe that. Therefore, I confess it. If I don't think Jesus' sacrifice is worthy before God for my sins, I won't confess them. Jesus Christ is the only designated priest, and specifically the only designated high priest of all God's people in the entire world. He is the only mediator between God and man. The only mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul says, for there is one God, one mediator also between God and men. And who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. Now, how many mediators are there between God and men?
One.
So simple, isn't it? Jesus Christ mediates His once-for-all sin offering, wherein God will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we will humble ourselves and confess them to God. Our confession is based upon Christ's perfect sacrifice. Does everybody understand that? It was necessary for Jesus to die at Calvary. That is the sacrifice. But that sacrifice has to be mediated before God. I do not march in before God on my own. I never will. Because there is always one mediator between me and God. And who is that?
Christ.
Never forget that. As long as Jesus remains in the Holy of Holies, we may draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness of our sins, which of course is based on His perfect once-for-all sacrifice at Calvary. At the bottom of page 3, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John 4, verses 7 through 26, He foretold that a time was coming when the animal sacrifices, priesthood, and temple in Jerusalem would no longer be the site and or the means to worship God any longer. Can you imagine that? You're a Jew. As long as you can remember, your forefathers, all your generations have come to Jerusalem. They've come up to the feast. They've been there at Passover. They've been there on the Day of Atonement. They've been there on the Day of Pentecost. They could have been there on the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Trumpets, and so forth, the seven feasts. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman," now this is Jesus speaking, "believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain," and he's referring to Mountain Gerizim, "nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." If I was a Jew, I would have picked up stones to stone Jesus. How dare you say that? Because in the law, it dictates that I come to Jerusalem to worship God. But what Jesus was doing here was prophesying a time when the priesthood, that the temple that they would go to every year, the sacrifices that they sacrificed, would no longer be of use. Why? Because that which that the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priests foreshadowed has now become reality. And who is that reality? In the one person, Jesus Christ. He is the reality of the law. We now know that Jesus was referring to when the first covenant would be superseded by the new covenant. This was only possible after Jesus had ascended to the Father and was designated as the high priest of the new covenant. Jesus could not have performed the office of high priest while on earth because he was from the tribe of Judah. Now, do you understand that? His lineage was from the tribe of Judah. And according to the law, no person who belonged to the tribe of Judah could be a priest. Do you understand that? Jesus could not be a high priest. And yet, if I turn to John chapter 17 in my scriptures, I just want to show you something. At the top of chapter 17, verse 1, my editor, or editors, put a title. You know what they titled John chapter 17? It starts off with, Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. What title? Those who have Bibles here. You know what mine has? The High Priestly Prayer. But according to Scripture, that cannot be true. He could not have been a high priest while here on earth because he was in after the order, or he belonged to the tribe of Judah, not the tribe of Levi. The two scriptures I referenced was Hebrews 7:14. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. You can go to the law and you cannot find one word that God told Moses that from the tribe of Judah a priest can come. Not one word. But in contradistinction, they had to come from the tribe of Levi. In Hebrews 8:4, the author says, Now if he, referring to Jesus as our high priest, were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law. That is, those according to the law, those are the Levites. So, when my editors, in John chapter 17, while Jesus was still on earth, says the high priestly prayer, I know by Scripture they are wrong. I don't care what they put on there. God wins every time. So you have to be careful about these titles, about these chapter titles that editors put in there. Now, is there any questions? We confess our sins. Why? I humble myself, which by the way, it's hard to do. I humble myself before God. I confess my sins because my high priest is in the heavenly sanctuary. He is still there in the heavenly sanctuary, or in the Holy of Holies, because it is the day of atonement, the day of propitiation. Now, to answer your question directly, David, a person can say, oh, no. I have another priest I go to, according to Scripture. Who's the only priest we go to? Jesus Christ. See how easy it is? It's so simple. There's only one that God has designated. Oh, sure, people will confess their sins to other people, other men, other women. It's to no avail. God has designated the one man, the one mediator. And that mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. Thank you. Be back next week and we will deal with propitiation and how Paul relates it in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bill Rennie. I admire this man's knowledge and his energy.
It's so exciting to me, Ken.
I can tell
you. For me to have my sins cleansed before God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing with
us. You're welcome.
I think it's becoming very clear to all of us.